Welcome to Cryptic Soup. Tonight's case is about dissecting media and rumors. We will talk about the Michael Fassbender stories that involve domestic abuse, along with Army Hammer allegations that include abuse, rape, sexual assault, and cannibalism. Tonight, we are presenting two cases that are mostly told by media accounts and driven by tabloids wanting to discuss the circumstances. We are aiming to give you all the information so you can decide what to believe. I'm Kylie.
And I'm Thina.
And tonight, we have another double case to share with you.
Hey guys, welcome back. So you guys really enjoyed last time when we did one of those double mashup episodes, which, I mean, that wasn't that long ago. We did the Burning Man and Cryptid Tales. And also, when we talked in the recap episode, we were like telling stories that wilded us and stuff, you know. I mentioned the Johnny Lewis famous actor case, and people were like, oh, yeah, because like I didn't know that because it's so media driven. You would think I know more or less, blah, blah. So I was like, I'm going to take all those things that you just said and tie it into one big episode. And the thing is with this kind of an episode, like it could be a series if you guys like it enough, or it could be a one shot and done. So that's the cool thing about this one. By the way, do you have any big things happening in your life, Kylie?
Why did I have something and now I don't remember it? I got more done on my tattoo yesterday and I'm going to a wedding tomorrow that has paid to get more tattoos. So I'm getting more tattoos tomorrow.
Oh, that's fun. I don't know what you're getting more. I knew what you got the other day because Corey had told me, but I don't know what you're getting more.
Plankton.
The chum bucket plankton?
I like how that's how you describe him.
Krabby Patty formula plankton?
Yes.
Okay. That's kind of cute.
Also, does it hurt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have something.
Yeah?
I don't. It's a revision on a previous episode that I need to make. I made a statement that I would like to apologize for. I feel like it was an uncalled for statement, and I feel like I was wrong in saying it. I like the Five Nights at Freddy's movie.
I knew it was something stupid.
I've decided, actually, I kind of like it. I went into it a little too seriously, and I do love Five Nights at Freddy's. I was talking about this with Margie. I've played all the games. I've read all the books. And I've like the lore.
I didn't even know there were books. What? I've only played the video games.
There's a lot more to it than just that because there's so many other characters. Like you have to know the story of like what their backgrounds are and why they have the motivations they have and stuff like that. And like you need to know why Puppet looks the way Puppet does and things like that. And I was like kind of getting into some of this. And when we were watching the film, I was like trying to explain it to her. I was like, oh, okay, so here's the thing about Bonnie you need to know. I was like, here's the thing of why Chica has the little bomb and stuff. And I was like trying to explain things like as it was going along a little bit. And I really do love Five Nights at Freddy's. And I was like, you know, and I want to rewatch the movie going into this now less critically. And I want to look for the Easter eggs. So that's my thing. I would like to apologize for lying to you all and saying it was a bad movie. It wasn't. I don't know what was wrong with me, and I'm sorry. I will not do that again. I'm sorry, Josh Hutcherson and Matthew Lillard. You guys are great. Speaking of celebrities, tonight's cases. Do you want to dig into it?
Yeah, let's do it.
So the reason why this case is what I wanted to cover is because, and I want to say Fassbender now that you said it.
Just you're welcome.
Yeah. I figured Michael Fassbender has a new movie coming out. So the day this episode goes up, it'll be November 15th. But he has a new movie coming out November 17th called Next Goal Wins. I figured this is as good of a time as any to discuss this man and understand why he needs to be covered on a podcast, right? Michael Fassbender is an Irish actor. He was born April 2nd, 1977. He is an Aries, the worst sign of all signs.
Fuck you.
I was waiting for that. That's Pedro Pascal's birthday.
Pedro Daddy.
That's also National Ferret Day. He was originally born in Heidelberg, West Germany to Adele and Josef.
Yeah.
Josef Fassbender. He grew up in Ireland, though, with his older sister, Catherine, and his parents. In 1996, at a young age, he knew he wanted to act. But in 1996, he left home at 19 years old to study at the Drama Center in London. In 1999, he ended up dropping out of the Drama Center and he started to go on tour with the Oxford Stage Company to begin performing.
That's not like an easy thing to do.
Mm-mm.
So that's pretty legit.
Michael's first really big on-screen role was playing Pat Christensen in the Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg award-winning television series called Band of Brothers.
Never saw it.
Oh, my fucking God. This is in my top five favorite film, like, TV
series. I think Corey likes it, too. Yeah.
Ever. It's a Max original series, but it's currently on Netflix, which is weird. I don't know how that's a thing, but it is. It's about the U.S. Army's 101st Airborne Division during World War II and what happens. The reason I watched this is because True Crime Guys talked about it nonstop and they got me hooked on it. But yeah, Band of Brothers, fucking amazing. It's only like 12 episodes. They're like hour long episodes. So worth watching as long as you like history. If you don't like history and you don't like war, then I mean,
okay. I love war movies.
Now, we were talking about Michael Fassbender being in, obviously, Band of Brothers, but he's in a lot of other things, things that most people would recognize. He's in the movie 300. He's in Inglourious Basterds, which, funny enough, something I learned about Michael Fassbender, he does speak German. However, he was so rusty by the time that he, like, got the role in that movie that he had to kind of, like, relearn it. So that's kind of funny. He's in Jonah Hex, which has Megan Fox in it. It's a DC film. He was in X-Men First Class, Days of Future Past, and Apocalypse. He plays Magneto. He was in Prometheus, the Assassin's Creed movie, Alien Covenant, and many other things. But like I said, he has a new film coming out on November 17th called Next Goal Wins. Michael has gotten numerous notes in Hollywood for his work, including nominations for 2 Academy Awards, 4 BAFTA Awards, and 3 Golden Globe Awards. In 2020, he was listed as number 9 on the Irish Times list of Ireland's greatest film actors.
I would think he would be more on the top of that list, but
I can't even off the top of my head name another Irish.
There is someone in Game of Thrones that's Irish. Oh, it's the girl. Kit Harington married.
Oh,
the okay. Hell is her name? Rose? Rose Leslie.
Okay. Now, up to this point, you're thinking like this man just sounds like your normal run of the mill actor guy, right? So why would some crime based podcast want to cover him? So Michael and Sunawin were a couple in 2009, but it wasn't until 2010 when the allegations came out about their relationship. And a lot of both these stories is done through media and tabloids. There is some court recommendations.
Records and what?
Just records. Oh, that's okay. All it was supposed to be records. There is some court records for different parts, but there's a lot of he said, she said in a lot of this part of both cases. So with that being the case, I am calling some things allegations in this. That does not mean that I am victim blaming or that I'm siding with either party in these either of these scenarios tonight. And I just want that to be on the record here. Now, with these allegations, she claims there were 2 incidents that were big issues in their relationship. Number 1, the incident of breaking her nose. Now, what happened was she said it was a night of drunken partying before the Isha Global Film and Music Festival in 2009 in Isha, Italy. He was a mess. He was sleeping in his urine. I woke him and he began to be violent and threw me over a chair, breaking my nose. After this incident occurred, a judge granted a temporary restraining order that called for Michael to move out of the couple's Bel Air home, which was actually leased in her name. But this incident occurs in July, and the next big thing doesn't happen until November, because I said there was 2 incidents. But from July to November, he was actually out of the country filming, so they don't have any other incidents. The second big thing was number 2, dragging her alongside a car while he was angry and drunk due to an ex-boyfriend coming up and saying hello to her at dinner that night. Sunawin went to court over these matters and filed a court petition and restraining order in March of 2010. The order was requesting Michael to stay at least 100 yards away from her and her 18-year-old daughter and 3-year-old son. The court obtained a hospital record from November 29th, 2009, where they said she was treated for a twisted left ankle, blown out left kneecap, and a burst ovarian cyst with lots of internal bleeding.
Whoa.
They said this was due to her being drugged from the car.
Not only is the being drugged by, you know, a car horrible, but then also having to deal with those types of specific injuries
because of it.
Yeah. That sounds even more horrible.
So during the court filings, she also sought out the attorney fees of nearly $24,000. And she said this was to pay for the medical bills that were caused by Michael dragging her by the car. And she requested that Michael needs to be enrolled in a 52-week batterer intervention program. Also, she brought up other problems that happened between the couple. She said, besides domestic abuse, Sunawin also said he tried to forcefully coerce her into a threesome while they were together. Now, all this comes out and the court essentially completely sides with Soonawin. So Michael Fassbender is in the wrong. They genuinely think he did do all these things.
Well, I mean, it's hard not to when she has these specific injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you? Yeah.
And then his mother, Adele, told the Daily Mail, anyone who knows Michael at all knows that it's a complete fabrication. His father, Yosef, told the Irish Sun, I don't know where she's getting this story from. Michael's the most gentle man you could ever meet. And then it just went away. No one talked about it again. He stopped acting for a while. I think he pursued like a race car driving career or something. He did something in the meantime. And now all of a sudden, 2023, he's back and he's making movies and we're all fine with it again. Voila.
Talk about a Mandela effect.
Is that not fucking... How did this not become a bigger deal? There are stories that definitely cancel culture people. I think this could have been a cancel culture that somehow did not make it.
Okay, well, let's talk about it. So,
yes, we are a podcast.
Johnny Depp.
That discusses things.
Shush. Johnny Depp and Amber Heard.
Mm-hmm.
Amber is essentially canceled, but it was huge. So much coverage. Massive coverage. This I have never heard of. It's like, okay, so if it was covered massively, then it would have been a different situation, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wanted, that wasn't long enough for an episode, right? So right. I was like, I need to do something else. And I've been trying to find a way to bring up this next one in an episode so badly. Armie Hammer. I did not. Okay. Armie Hammer. We're going to start talking about Armie Hammer. I didn't know who. No, I knew who Armie Hammer was for a different reason. Armie Hammer is in one of my comfort films. Okay.
Which film is that?
The Social Network. Don't give me that look. Why is
no,
that?
No. I was in like the, yeah, I could see that.
And the thing that sucks is my all-time favorite line in the movie is done by Armie Hammer. And I had no idea about this story until one day I'm talking about Armie Hammer and I was talking about this movie, I think, or maybe, I don't know, maybe it was just I'm drunk. But what happened was Margie's like, blah, blah, blah. You know, Armie Hammer is a cannibal, right? And I was like, what the fuck? First off, that man's name is Armie Hammer.
Armand.
That wowed me. I was like, his name's Armie Hammer? That's such a stupid name. But then I was like, he's a cannibal? No, he's not. So then I was like, I cannot wait to do this.
Seriously.
So this is that day. Do you want to talk about some crazy social media potential rumors or potential truths?
Yeah, I'm ready.
And I'm going to let you guys decide. Armand Douglas Hammer was born August 28th, 1986. He is a Virgo that shares a birthday with Jack Black. And that is National Bow Tie Day.
Isn't he on your hug list?
Yes, he is.
Yep.
I love him. Especially now that he's Bowser. He's so wholesome. I love him.
That is so wholesome, honestly.
He's just so cute. His mother, Drew, is a former bank loan officer, and his father, Michael, owned several businesses, including the Nolder Publishing Company and the Armand Hammer Productions Film Television Production Company. Most people know who Armie is for his acting career, which began with small guest appearances in television shows like Arrested Development, Veronica Mars, Gossip Girl, Reaper, and Desperate Housewives. Personally, I attribute him to being one of my favorite characters in The Social Network. He's the Winklevoss twins. Now, I have an interesting fact about him and this movie. Do you want to know my favorite line, by the way?
Yes.
It's so fucking stupid. It's just the way he says it in the film, which sucks because now I don't like him because of this case. It's when the Winklevoss twins are angry at, I almost said Jesse Eisenberg, at
Mark
Zuckerberg.
I got you.
And Mark Zuckerberg for stealing, you know, the Facebook idea, essentially. And so they're talking about it. And then the one guy who gave the money to them, not the Winklevoss, to the guys doing the program, Eisenberg and them, not Jesse Eisenberg. God damn it, Zuckerberg. So anyways, he, the guy's like, what are you going to do? Beat him up?
What, do you want to hire an IP lawyer and sue him?
No, I want to hire the Sopranos to beat the shit out of him with a hammer.
We don't even have to do that. That's right. We can do that ourselves. I'm 6'5", 220, and there's two of me.
I'm with this guy.
Whatever. I'm saying.
That's it. Like, that's the whole line. That's not even correctly how he says it.
Yeah, I remember
the line.
But that's
literally the line, and it's my favorite line in the whole film.
Okay.
For no fucking reason.
I love him in The Man from U.N.C.L.E. and The Lone Ranger.
But my interesting fact about the movie is, did you know, so he plays the Winklevoss twins, two people. Do you want to know how they did it?
Did they do it like Parent Trap?
I don't know how they did in Parent Trap, so maybe or maybe not, but I'm going to tell you how they did it.
Okay.
They hired a stunt double that had the same build type as him, but just slightly different, to where the body shape was different. And then they made that guy wear a green screen on his face. And then they green screened Armie Hammer's face so that the faces matched, but that the bodies were slightly different. So they did look like twins because they had similarities, but weren't the exact same. And they also made the guys go to like a 10-month boot camp to learn how to row and be professional, like bodybuilding looking guys, because the real Winklevoss twins were rowers in the school at Harvard and everything. So there's that. Also, there's another really good line.
Sorry, my Prada's at the cleaners, along with my hoodie and my fuck you flip-flops, you pretentious douchebag.
Security's here. You'll be leaving now.
But yes, that. And also, I have another.
You have more?
Yeah, I just really fucking love. You would think I really like Mark Zuckerberg because I'm going to tell another Zuckerberg moment. Here's my thing. I am born January 6th and I share a birthday with Aaron from Game Grumps, which if you know why this moment is funny already, you know there is a Game Grump Gump Scabber Trump Trip Skip.
What?
I thought I could work through it. And I said Trip Skip. I meant to say skit. There is a Game Grumps skit about Jesse Eisenberg.
No.
And Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Probably one of my favorite comedy sketch moments in history is the Mark Zuckerberg Game Grumps thing. So go watch it. Okay. You ready to go back to Armie Hammer? Now that I've talked about Zuckerberg for 45 fucking years?
Yep.
All right. All because Armie Hammer. All because he had to fucking play the Winklevoss twins. Like, come on, bro. Okay.
Just one dude.
Yeah, it's just one dude, and he's not even a real Winklevoss.
Yep.
Okay, so Armie Hammer, he had an early rise to fame, and later his name becomes more like infamy because of these circulations of these rumors about cannibalism and everything, which hits the tabloids, the social media, the rumors, everything. These problems arose many years after Armie had been in the spotlight. One of the first times it started was around 2019. So there's going to be a lot that I'm covering. The Armie part of this story is actually like quite a bit longer. I'm going to try to go through a timeline so that it makes sense. But holy shit, you guys, I'm about to information overload you. All right.
I'm fucking ready.
So in 2019, Armie posts a video on Instagram where his son and him are giggling, and his son is a toddler and he's kind of like laying on his shins at this point in the video. OK, and Armie is like leaned back on a couch and his son is like trying to chew on his foot like a puppy does. And then he ends up putting Armie's toes in his mouth and like sucking them for a second. And then that's the end. It was not sexual. It was not like weird until people made it weird. It was one of those things where it was at first just like a dad and son being funny and being weird and be like, oh, my God, why are you doing that? But then people were like,
but wait, there's more.
Why the fuck is Armie letting his son suck his toes? And they worded it like that, which made it weird. You know what I mean?
Right.
And this circulated not very long after that whole thing happened where people were like, Tom Brady kissed his son on the mouth. Do you remember that?
No.
When Tom Brady won a game, he goes to his family comes to congratulate him and he kisses each of his family members on the mouth, like his wife. And then he kisses his son, and his son is technically like a grown ass adult. And so people are like, that's weird. And people really, really went hard on this whole stance about kissing your children on the lips. And then this Armie thing happens. So people are like taking a harsher criticism on what they've deemed is weird or acceptable behavior for parents to do with and around their children. So with that being the case, this is the beginning of people being like, Armie's weird. That's not the weird thing about him, though. I promise. There's a lot more. Trust me. We've just started.
I mean, that's weird, but
we've only begun unpacking. We have 11 more suitcases. So only a year later, something got stirred up again. Armie had been an actor for over 10 years at this point. And he had been with his wife, Elizabeth, for that same length of time. However, what happens? July 10th, 2020, Elizabeth Chambers, which is his wife, she announced that the couple was actually going to be getting divorced. And then Armie followed in suit. And both posts and like both comments they commented on each other's things were super respectful, kind, mature, things like that. So Elizabeth posts a photo of them where like they kind of look like young teenagers and he's kind of like burying his head in her shoulder and they like look happy and stuff. And they look like they're like in a car. And she says 13 years as best friends, soulmates, partners, and then parents. It's been an incredible journey, but together we've decided to turn the page and move on from our marriage. As we enter into this next chapter, our children and relationship as co-parents and dear friends will remain our priority. We understand this news lends itself to public dialogue, but in the interest of our children and our family, we're asking for privacy, compassion, and love during this time.
Aww.
And like his mimicked that. And then like, for example, like the comments, like he commented something being like, it's been an incredible journey with you. I'm glad I've shared this experience, life and children and everything with you. And like, they were both very like mature and respectful. It was exactly like what you want to see, especially from like people that aren't going to be in the light and you know that everyone's going to criticize what they're going to say.
Right.
And around this time, the couple had been quarantining in the Cayman Islands because it is still 2020. And Elizabeth is from the Cayman Islands, or at least she lives there currently. Now, Army technically lives in the U.S. Keep in mind. So originally they had kind of been like going back and forth back in the day. But during COVID times and stuff, they had been staying in the Cayman Islands. But after announcing this separation, Army decides he's going to move back to L.A. and Elizabeth's going to take custody over the two children. By October 15th of that same year, 2020, Army goes to court to decide to request for joint custody of the children. He said he and his wife were actually having issues, and with her living in the Cayman Islands and him being in the States, it was supposed to be like apparent that the kids should be traveling back and forth to see them and stuff, and that the parents were supposed to be like ushering these kids into each other parents' lives. But that wasn't the case, and Army said he hadn't gotten to see his kids since the whole like decision of splitting up. Also that year for the holidays, both parents were supposed to be able to both see the children and stay all together as a family in the Cayman Islands, but that like doesn't come to fruition, and that doesn't happen. So then 2021 rolls around, and this was not a good year of Army versus the internet. So on January 12th, 2021, an anonymous woman called @HouseOfEffie on Instagram, and yes, this is still an active Instagram account. She doesn't have that many posts, but she does have like a few. But her stories, you can watch for hours. She has so many, and it's a lot. It's a lot. And I'm going to talk about a lot of it, so you don't have to dig for it. But if you want to, that's the best place to start digging into the Army stuff, is at House of Effie. So this person, House of Effie, comes forward on Instagram and claims that they had a 4-year-long affair starting in 2016 with Army while he was still with his wife. And this person had a bunch of wild things to say about their relationship with Army. She claimed that Army used to send her graphic and violent texts about cannibalism, his rape fantasies, cutting off people's toes, and his desire to drink her blood. I will do it on the Instagram, but I will give you guys a heads up. This episode from here on out is very heavy talking about cannibalism and very heavy on rape. She goes on to publish screenshots of the text between her and Army, and there are so many. I will talk about some of them, but there are so, so many. Then, as she does this, a bunch of Army's other exes come forward that said they had the same issues with him and similar messages, which she publishes also. As this woman came forward, a bunch of other women started approaching her, and they say that they were helping him have affairs as well, and he would say wild things to him. So I'm going to give you some parts of some of the texts, and these are graphic. I'm giving you like what he texted the person. Text me about breaking your bones while I'm raping you, and I'll send you a voice note while I come over reading it.
Wow.
My cock is in my hand, and I'm thinking of breaking your ribs. A head rush. Branding you, tattooing you, marking you, shaving your head, keeping your hair with me, cut a piece of your skin off and make you cook it for me. I mean, I feel like the tests can be endless. When I tell you to slit your wrists and use the blood as lube for anal. Okay, we got like 3 or 4 more.
Okay.
I want to see everything. I want to see your brain, your blood, your organs, every part of you. I would definitely bite it or try to fuck it. Not sure which, probably both. If I fucked you into a vegetative state, I'd keep you, feed you, wash you, and keep fucking you till you are sore and broken.
Next. Yikes. I feel like that one is worse than the slit your wrist.
They're just,
honestly.
The last one's really
the just, level is just, wow.
The next one. I need your blood. I want you to feed me with it. And then this next one's pretty graphic, guys. This one, he was detailing what he did to a girl because she said, there's something about where he's like, do you remember that night what I did to you? And she's like, which one? So this was something he supposedly had done to her. Raping you on your floor and your ass with a knife against you. Everything else seemed boring. You crying and screaming, me standing over you. I felt like a god. I've never felt such power or intensity. And in that one, he goes on to being like, having sex with other people isn't near as great because I always have to think back to that night with you. And she's like, why is that? And he's like, because it was the best and stuff like that. He's like, I love the power I get from, you know, doing that to you. And it just goes on. It's disgusting. there are a lot more. I probably read a third of them, if that. It's a lot. Those are rough, right?
Yeah.
Those are really rough. Some of them are text. Some of them are like Instagram DMs. Some of them are WhatsApp type messages and stuff. There are different ones too. Mm-hmm. Now, around the same time, another girl starts telling stories and sending screenshots of her messages about Army saying that he wanted to auction her off.
Well, that's a very different still turn of events.
Thing. Yeah. A day later, on January 13th, Army voluntarily exits the J-Lo movie called Shotgun Wedding that he was supposed to be in, and Josh Duhamel replaces him.
He's amazing in that movie. Have you seen it?
No.
Oh, my God. It is so bad, but it is so good because they're just such good actors. Oh, my God.
Well, it almost was Army Hammer. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I can't see that.
And around this time, Army gives a statement to Variety magazine saying, I'm not responding to these bullshit claims, but in light of the vicious and spuracious online attacks against me, spurious online attacks against me, I cannot in good conscience now leave my children of 4 months to shoot a film in the Dominican Republic. Lionsgate is supporting me in this, and I'm grateful to them for that. But then again, only another day goes by before Army's back in the news.
Wow. One day.
One day. On January 14th, another allegation is made, this time by Courtney Vucevic. She comes forward about
Vucevic.
I've heard it so many times today and I still can't do it. Courtney comes forth about her relationship that follows Army's divorce. So Courtney and Army dated for about 4 months, and Courtney told the Daily Mail, he's very charming, an intense human being, almost intoxicating.
I mean, those are normal things for celebrities.
So. Yeah. But then while dating from June to October of 2020, she says there were some incidents that occurred. Courtney told Page Six that the actor subjected her to emotional abuse, sexually coerced her, and made her feel unsafe. She said, he did some things with me that I wasn't comfortable with, for God knows what reason. He convinced me that these things were okay, and he put me in some dangerous situations where I was not okay, where he was heavily drinking, and I was drinking, and I wasn't drinking that way, and it scared me. I didn't feel comfortable. Courtney said Army liked the idea of skin in his teeth, and that he would tell her he wanted to break her ribs, barbecue them, and eat them. But don't worry, it didn't get that far. The only things that did happen that seemed odd was whenever she had a cut, he would like to lick it and suck the blood out of it.
No. How often does she have cuts?
I don't know. But don't worry, Army's there to clean him up, I guess.
Don't worry. We got you.
Courtney said Army was a groomer because he was so good at manipulation in the relationship with love bombing. She said he was consistently grooming you mentally, physically, emotionally, financially, just everything. This information got really heavily brought into the media's attention, which warrants most people to ask, where's the proof, right?
Mm-hmm.
On January 15th, another day later, more screenshots started getting brought into the scenario again. This time the screenshots were from Army's Finsta account.
Oh, my God.
His own secondary Instagram account where screenshots were posted. There were several photos or videos of women in bondage. And in one of them, there was a caption where Army complains about his current life, saying that he was upset by having to stay in the Cayman Islands for his ex because he wants to see his kid, but she refuses to come back to America. But he said, it's okay. Quote, there are a few silver linings, like fucking Miss Cayman while I'm down there. If that was not a hot button moment, the Cayman Island area makes it into one. They were pissed, like everyone was. They made Army come forth and confirm that the girl in these posts was not Miss Cayman or Miss Cayman, like the Island Universe Committee people. It's like the same thing as like Miss America.
Yeah.
And they were like, no, she would not do that. You need to prove that that's not her now. Which reminds me, and I wanted to discuss it because I don't know how much you know about like the Miss... I always say like Miss Universe, Miss America things. Do you know the Vanessa Williams thing?
No.
Okay. I only know her because I was obsessed with her. She was in a movie called Elmo and Grouchland, which it's an Elmo movie, right? Okay. Like she was queen of the trash.
I love where this is going. Okay.
And it was my nephew's favorite movie and I babysit my nephew a lot. So I had to watch it. She was so fucking pretty and I loved her. I loved her. Now, you guys might know her. Actually, she's in a lot of other things, but she was in the Hannah Montana movie. She was in like something more like our age range that we might have seen. OK, well, Vanessa Williams is extremely famous. She's in a lot of things, actually. Like if I showed you her, you'd be like, oh, OK, that girl. So here's the thing. She was Miss America in 1984. Well, you want to know what happened after she became Miss America? Penthouse Magazine, the like kind of nudie magazine, mm-hmm. bought pictures, nude pictures and like lewd pictures of her, not from her, from an outside source that she did not give permission to have, mm-hmm. that they took of these photos of her and stuff. And then they put it in their magazine against her wishes and against her, like telling them they couldn't do that. And then they took her Miss America away and made her give it to the runner up because they said that's not a good like image. It wasn't until like 20 plus years later that they finally apologized to her and let her come back. Because you know how like the next year they're mm-hmm. supposed to crown the next person?
Yeah.
It wasn't until like 20 or 30 years later that they finally apologized and let her come back and give the crown to someone. So Vanessa Williams like lost that. In a sense, she lost all of her sponsorship. She lost everything by... Mm-hmm. And the thing about it is it's so disrespectful because she didn't even choose to have these photos. So yeah. So that's why I had to bring that in, because I wanted you to see the like... timeline of how they treat Miss America type things, yeah. and how they could have treated this Miss Cayman Islands thing. Because, you know, when he makes this comment about fucking Miss Cayman and then posts this explicit type thing, they were like, no, unacceptable.
Good.
After they like, in a sense, like kind of attack Army and be like, do the right thing. Army gives a formal apology in a news publication and he says, I would like to clarify the person in my video, which was stolen from my private Instagram, by the way, is not Miss Cayman. I'm genuinely sorry for any confusion my foolish attempt at humor may have caused.
Foolish.
So on January 25th, a new person comes forth, Paige Lorenz, a 24-year-old ex-girlfriend who also dated Army for 4 months in 2020, comes forth and she corroborates the same stories of abuse that the other exes have told at this point. She tells Page Six that Army had branded, bruised, sexually coerced her and took graphic photos of her without her consent. Army's lawyers were quick to act and deny the allegations, saying that the interactions Army has had with these persons are all completely consensual. But women were saying he went as far as to talking about biting their body parts off, drinking their blood. This one woman says he told her he wanted to eat her heart.
It sounds like he should have been in Game of Thrones.
Something. I mean... Then there was this text thread screenshot where Army told a supposed story about how he killed a deer and ripped its heart out, I think with his bare hands, he said, and he ate the heart raw just so that he could know the warmth and taste of it as if it was a human heart.
That makes me so uncomfortable.
Then on February 1st, Army's ex-wife writes in a post that she supports all the victims and she asks for kindness and respect as she is now going to be focusing on her children and her career because she's realizing there's a lot she didn't know about her ex-husband and she's sorry.
She didn't know this the whole time.
Mm-hmm. She didn't know he was cheating on her. She didn't know that he was saying these things behind her back, all this stuff. February 3rd, 2021. At this point, the LAPD begins investigating Army Hammer while keeping it a secret from the public. They had internally pinpointed that Army was the main suspect in an alleged sexual assault investigation that they were now following through with. And they were able to keep it out of the tabloids and media. At this point, Army is now just like leaving sets and projects left and right. He's like leaving all the jobs, everything that he's supposed to be in, he's not doing. He ends up checking himself into a rehab while his talent agency drops him as a client.
That's fair.
On March 11th, Vanity Fair publishes an article on the Hammer family, giving new details to Army's upbringing, his home life, the Cayman Islands stories, and a lot of stories about how his family has had similar scandals over the years. For example, one publisher talks about how his grandfather killed a man in his LA home due to a gambling debt. March 18th, at a press conference, a woman named Effie comes forward and claims that Army violently raped her for over 4 hours back in 2017. She says she felt it was not only violent in nature, but in the end, she thought Army was going to kill her after it. Army's Hammers are quick again to deny this and say that that event was a consensual act.
Army's Hammers.
Is that what I said?
Yes.
Army's lawyers.
Army's Hammers. He really got the gavel.
Army's lawyers.
Yeah, I need you to say that whole thing because I was not listening.
After these allegations, Army's lawyers are quick to deny this and say the entire thing was a consensual event. Mm-hmm. Now, I should have told you to put a pin in it and I darn tootin' fucked up. Do you remember way back in the past when we talked about it, the first person who came forward was a Twitter user at House of Effie?
Yes.
This Effie that comes forward at this press conference says she is not House of Effie on the internet.
That's...
She denies that that was her.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And also there's this whole thing about timeshares that's happening right now. I'm going to leave that out of this episode because this episode's already really long. But if you start digging into the Armie Hammer case, around this point is when you're going to get into the Cayman Islands timeshares. A whole fucking other just wild thing.
Rabbit hole.
It really is. On May 31st, Armie checks into another treatment facility, this time in Florida, for drug, alcohol, and sex issues. Supposedly his wife was with him the day he checked into, and that's like in the tabloids about how she's like supporting that he needs help.
I feel like she's his kryptonite.
And they're still technically married at this point. They're going through the divorce, but they are not divorced fully yet. September 2nd, 2022, Discovery Plus releases a 3-part docuseries titled House of Hammer, which I remember that coming out and I didn't know what it was about and I didn't really care about it. I think I thought it was about like the creation of Arm & Hammer products or something probably.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I use that for part of my sources. It's fucking incredible. Ooh, it's so good. Within this docuseries, there's details about Armie's relationship with the Courtney girl that I mentioned earlier, also a woman named Julia Morrison, as well as his relationships with some of his family members, some of the history on other Hammer family members. And like I said, it's 3 episodes. So the first episode focuses on Armie's romantic relationships and how they escalated through love bombing and manipulation. The second episode really discusses the Hammer family legacy and the generational trauma that affected the entire family. And the third and final episode attempts to bring closure. They unite Courtney and one of Armie's family members to discuss their experiences within the Hammer family. The series shows information that people were not aware of before, including Armie leaving threatening notes on someone's car, like an ex. They also talk about the Hamley.
You're doing great.
The Harmer. I didn't want to say Hamley, so I went the different route.
Uh-huh. You can do it.
The Hammer family had paid people to stay quiet, including other family members that were like trying to speak out and just other shit that was really shady going on.
Sounds a little sus.
On September 4th, Effie, the woman from the press conference. Jesus.
Not the Twitter account.
Yeah, I'm so bad at talking tonight, though. I'm just so excited.
Also, originally you said Instagram. Is it Instagram or is it Twitter?
It's Instagram. I don't know where Twitter... Guys, I cannot talk worth my fucking... Why am I doing this episode? Google it, you guys.
No, you got done. It. You got it. Come on.
Go Google. I'll just tell you my sources. Okay. September 4th, Effie, the woman from the press conference, she tells the Los Angeles Times that she refused to participate in House of Hammer docuseries because she said the production was exploitative of the victims and that it was just like bringing them back up for the sake of talking about them without any resolutions and stuff. She was really upset. She gave a bunch of statements.
Interesting. Okay.
On September 7th, we haven't talked about this thing yet. It's something I left out on purpose. The infamous bite mark. So this happened back when Courtney dated Armie. There was some circulation about it when it first came out in 2021 earlier. But in the docuseries, there's an actual photo. If you watch it nowadays, it's a different photo than if you watched it when the show came out. They replaced the photo. And I'll talk about that too.
Okay.
But it becomes a really big deal at this point because this is the first time really people start like paying attention to it. The photo is of an alleged bite mark that Courtney claimed happened with Armie during one of their sexual acts. And not super long after this, like when people are asking him why he went into rehab and stuff, Armie admits that he is into BDSM and stuff. But again, his lawyers really lawyer up and say it's always consensual, perfect, like perfect BDSM, nothing bad. However, Courtney said Armie would take things too seriously where there were bruises and bites and marks. And the thing is Courtney said that Armie did these on purpose because he wanted the women to treat these markings like a badge of honor that they should be proud to have thanks to him.
Hmm.
It's giving...
Nexium?
Oh my God, yes!
Yeah.
I was going to say it's giving Keith Raniere vibes now. Mm-hmm. Then there was a turn of events, as if there wasn't enough already.
In the archives. Nexium. In the archives.
Yes.
It's fine. I can't talk either.
So the viewers began to question the validity of the image because some people noticed that the mark resembled a picture of a bite mark that you can find on Pinterest. Hmm. Well, despite all this, following the speculation over the image's authenticity, Discovery Plus reached out to Courtney and she provided a different photo. And that's now what they have in the thing. She said that was an accident and it was a mistake what she gave to them. And then she gave a statement to People magazine. She says, When you're love bombed, you receive multiple images in rapid succession. During my time with Army, I received numerous messages, including countless images and videos. The bite mark shown was a photo sent by Army within our archived text thread. And over a year later, I believed it was to have been the photo of me that I have dozens of photos of depicting his abuse on my body. So she's saying like,
there were so many.
Yeah, he probably sent her a photo being like, this is what I want to do to you.
Yeah.
And then like a week later, she had a photo being like, this is what he did in response to that photo. And she accidentally gave the wrong one is what she's saying.
Yeah.
You ready to talk about the lawyers?
Mm.
His lawyer, Andrew Brettler, denies all the allegations and misconduct and maintains that the relationship was completely consensual.
Now, do you know what consent is?
I don't think they do.
Like, bro.
Now, I have not discussed Andrew Brettler, really, because I didn't know if you knew who this person was. So I need to talk about his lawyer. This person runs a criminal and civil law practice in West Hollywood with none other than, drumroll, Blair Burke.
Am I supposed to know who that is?
She teams up with Andrew Brettler for the Army Hammer case. Now, who's Blair Beck? You need to remember her, right?
Okay. Burke.
What'd I say?
Beck.
God.
I mean, it makes sense.
Now, she is a lawyer for celebrities most of the time. Like, her first case ever was with, oh my God, I know this. Hold on. Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh.
Because a person committed suicide and either blamed his lyrics or they said his lyrics were like talked about it in a way or something like that.
I remember that.
And she defended him. But then she goes on to have a ton of other clients. Like, I'm talking like Channing Tatum, like Leo DiCaprio, and both those are like for like stalking incidents where like a fan stalking them. Mm-hmm. Alexandra Daddario, or however you pronounce her name. Mm-hmm. Oh, she's so pretty. Fuck. Like, there's so many clients she has. Ryan Seacrest for another like stalking type thing and stuff. There's like a bunch of them, right? But then her later clients. Do you want to know some of her like past few years clients and what she clienteled them for? Blair Burke. Some of her clients include Mel Gibson, because he domestically abused and was violent towards his girlfriend or wife at the time. And she was his lawyer to get him off of it.
Mm-hmm.
Sylvester Stallone, where she teamed up with a guy named Marty Singer to fight against his rape charge. Next one, Darren Sharper, which is huge in the news right now. He's a sports athlete.
I don't know who that is, but that makes sense.
He's been charged with multiple rape charges in multiple cities against multiple people.
Mm.
You ready for some you might recognize, actually?
Mm-hmm.
Harvey Weinstein, the multiple sexual harassment and assault charges that happened right during the middle of the Me Too movement. Mm-hmm. And she's a woman, remember? And she's like, that didn't happen. She also was one of the people that helped get the conservatorship over Britney Spears because she was Jamie Spears's lawyer. Oh, she was CeeLo Green's lawyer when he went on record saying it isn't rape if the victim is unconscious when he gave someone ecstasy and raped them.
Bro.
She was Chris Brown's lawyer during the whole.
I don't even want to talk about that.
Yeah, during the whole rape charge. But you want to know what? She stepped down because she said he was hard to communicate with. Okay. She was Marilyn Manson's for the drug abuse and rape charges. Also, she made posts supporting Jeffrey Epstein's law team during that trial.
Oh.
I'm so hot and bothered over here. I just fucking moved the whole chair with my body. So, yeah, that's who Army Hammer has supporting him.
Mm-hmm.
So does it make sense when I said, like, he has these interesting lawyers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Andrew Brettler and Blair Burke are his lawyers. And if you can't tell, Blair, for being a woman, really loves believing that rape does not happen to women, it seems like. And there's been this whole thing when she did the Weinstein things where people were like, she is an awful person. And she's like, I'm actually a feminist.
Love this.
I just thought I really should bring that all into the picture so you get the full thing here. October 28th, tabloids say the American Express company is suing Armie Hammer because he had over $60,000 of unpaid purchases, balance transfers, or cash advances.
Oh.
And these are all on his accounts, which starts more of those rumors about him working in the Cayman Islands as a resort employee and he's selling timeshares.
Okay, I understand now.
Mind you, he also had that account shared with his wife. So then February 6th, 2023, a few things take place around this time period. There's an interview with a company called Airmail, and it's his first interview in 2 years. Army admits to being emotionally abusive, but maintains that his sexual encounters were still always considered consensual. He then alleges the reason that he is the way he is, is because a pastor sexually abused him at the age of 13, which led to his interest in BDSM. He then also admits it is true about the like 60K unpaid charges and everything, and says that he is really badly in debt. Then there's another report where his ex-wife, who, I mean, they're still married, but they're in the middle of the divorce, Elizabeth, talks, and she says, she finally goes on and makes her own allegations against Army. She says, Army groomed girls as young as 15 and described him as a psychopath.
Ooh.
Whoa, where'd whole, that come from?
Right, yeah, the whole civil act dropped, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So then February 7th, Elizabeth says she learned about the cannibalism and sex abuse allegations the same time the public did. And before that, she never had heard about it and it like didn't take place in their relationship. On May 31st, the LA District Attorney's Office issues a statement to CNN that will not, that they said they will no longer be pursuing charges of sexual assault against Army due to the complexity of all the relationships and the inability to prove things without reasonable doubt. Essentially, Army's getting off scot-free.
Mm-hmm.
And Army takes this as a win and says he now has to fight to clear his name to get himself back in good graces with everyone because he was just wrongly accused of everything. On July 5th, 2023, 3 years after announcing their separation, almost to the day, Elizabeth Chambers and Army Hammer are officially finally divorced. November 1st. That was literally like from when we're recording this, 9 days ago.
Oh, okay.
Army rejoins social media.
Okay.
Like, I could not have planned these two cases better if I tried. Yeah, he decided to get back on Instagram. So he shared a post from inside, like, a moving train set to the song El Milonario by Gitkin. His camera's trained on a laptop playing a clip of a man running beside a horse. After that, his entire profile was completely scrubbed, and that's the only thing on it. And no one knows what he's implying with this video or anything. Now, still to this day, it's considered that Army didn't do anything wrong and that every single one of these things is just weird rumors and that nothing is the case. However, the FE page is still up and running and they're very, very passionate about speaking out about the story and like speaking out about Army. And like it's covered in a lot of things. And he was in a show with Timothée Chalamet and Timothée's even came forth and like talked about his experiences with Army and stuff like that. A lot of people have came forward and like talked about things. But technically, to this day, none of the texts and like Instagram DMs and everything have been 100% verified to whether they are or aren't him. They said they can't really validate say it. Yeah, they say they can't validate, but they also said they can't invalidate it. It's they're at a standstill. And because of that, so many people have spoken out about this situation because they are scared to say whether it could or couldn't be true because they don't want to discredit the victims. And that's such a slippery slope. You know, they don't want to say it didn't happen if it did, but they also don't want to say it did happen and ruin Army's life if it didn't. So now we're just at a no one knows if it's true or not, but it's so wild.
We have this knowledge.
I mean, after reading everything, I got to be honest, I feel like I'm going to break down both. We kind of broke down the first case already, but I'll do a quick one. When it comes to Michael Fassbender, I believe he did that. I believe those things really happened.
Yep.
Because of things. There was one thing I didn't mention.
I mean, you really can't fake those injuries.
No, but there is something I didn't mention about him. I omitted something. Her injuries occurred on like, let's say like a Monday. She didn't go to the hospital until Thursday. However,
that's a normal thing for abuse.
That's the thing. A lot of people are like, that is the biggest nail in the coffin. She's making it up. But I'm like, that's more realistic because A, it means that she was scared, or B, if she has all these things wrong, like her leg and her foot and her cysts and stuff like that, part of them, she probably was too scared to go because the leg and foot, you can't really lie very easy. But the ovarian cysts and the internal bleeding, she might genuinely not have known that much was occurring.
And then pain.
Because how she describes it is she's like, I was literally like either laying down or sitting down. And all of a sudden I look down and she literally says, I started profusely bleeding from my vagina and I knew it was not like I'm having a period. Like I was, something was wrong.
Right. Well, yeah.
And I was like, you know, girl, this makes me believe you more even almost because you were too scared to go and say something, especially when you're dating a celebrity of all people. And that same thing can be said when like you get hurt and you don't want someone to think that you are in that kind of situation when you're not. Like that's also scary. So Michael Fassbender, I can see that being a true scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Army Hammer, who dissecting this one. This one's rough. I think that it's true. I think that it is. I don't think that he is a cannibal. I think he like has a shock value thing. And I think he has some power trip problems. and he feels the need to be like dominant, but he doesn't know how to go about it correctly. So he does it the only way he can think, which is like this, like almost like ominous way. And I feel like he's doing it from like almost like a I can't think of this word, like when you want something so bad, you do it like too hard. You go too hard in the paint. An overachiever, I guess. That's not what I'm trying to say, but it's like compensating.
Overcompensating?
Yes. He's overcompensating. So like he's like, oh, well, I know I want to be seen as dominant. What's the most dominant thing? Eating you. Like you needing to be scared of me. That will make me dominant. No, like you can be a dominant in a bedroom without being scary. There is a vast difference.
Especially with BDSM.
And that is what BDSM is truly about, is that comfortability to give yourself over to a dominant type thing and stuff. And mm-hmm. he's not understanding that part. He's looking at it from the wrong perspective. So I don't think he's a cannibal. I think that's for shock value. I really do. But do I think all this other stuff is true? Do I think he has all this stuff? I kind of think so. Yeah. Cause that's a lot of people. And there's a lot of so much that is in a parallel timeline, but also so much that is in a synchronized timeline. And there's so many people, there's so many moving parts. And I just feel like there would have been more fuss from, I don't know. It's kind of like, okay, you don't know who Robert Wardella is, but he was a crazy fucking psycho killer. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, he was perfect to his wife because he got all that other shit out on other people. And then when he came home to his wife, he was normal. But when you hear things, you're like, he had to have been doing weird shit to his wife. No, he didn't, because he got it out of his system before he came home every day. That's like that thing when killers are so normal. John Wayne Gacy, he had like a family for a while and stuff. And he was a normal dad and he was a normal husband because he got that weird. He got his ick out somewhere else. So then when he came home, he was normal. He got his yuck out. He can come home and be his yum. Like, does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And that's all I can think about, is that I feel like some killers are so, or even not killers, but just psychopaths, sadists, any kind of thing, manipulators, anything. They get all that out in some places so that they can act normal in other places. They like are, they know their audience. They're good at that. And that's what manipulators do. That's what gaslighters do. All of that kind of stuff. So I don't know. I believe it. Kylie, how do you feel? What do you think about these?
Okay. So Michael, yeah, exactly how you feel. I feel the same. Like he definitely did it. And like the whole thing of her injuries, debunking that. No, it definitely makes me feel like that brings more validity to the situation, because that's a normal thing for abuse. Like that's what happens. You get abused, you're not going to go straight to the hospital. Like that's not how it works. Army, I'm sad because I like him. And so now it's really hard to like him. But also like so many people came forward. So it's hard to just be like, yeah, no, they're just crazy. Like they came up with that. Like that's a lot of people. I guess having the person that he had for a lawyer seems interesting.
Very interesting.
Because like, why wouldn't you choose just a regular lawyer that didn't have any of these specific types of clients?
It almost makes me think it's even more believable too. Because yes, that lawyer goes for that kind of thing that, yeah, I know. Yep.
Yeah. So too many people came forward for it to be really difficult to not believe, like really. And then the lawyer's just the icing on the cake. And then again, like what you said, like I feel like his wife is like his person, like his kryptonite. And so he would never do anything like that to her. But
I didn't say that you did.
He has fantasies that he plays out with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the norm with his wife.
So, yeah, you know this. I'm sorry. I don't want to cut you off. Is that your theories?
No, that's my theory. But I'm also sad because I like him. And now I hate him. But I love him. Yep.
So do you know? I know you know, but maybe they don't know. So I'm going to say, do you know?
Okay.
Do you know how like I sometimes mix up two people like all the fucking time? Like, yes. I thought Ed Sheeran and Shawn Mendes were the same person.
Yes.
Or like things like that. I thought
Rex.
Who?
The Rex.
The Rex and the Wallows. I thought they were the same.
Yeah.
And then I thought Conan O'Brien and who plays the Penguin in Batman?
I don't remember his name. I know who you're talking about.
Sean Connery.
Actually, It's Colin Farrell, but nice try. You are so bad at celebrities, Athena.
I thought they were the same person.
Yeah.
Okay, do you want to know another one that I thought before all this? I couldn't tell the difference between Armie Hammer and Glenn Powell.
Yes.
I thought they were the same person. And
oh, no, a lot of people. That's a normal thing.
Which it's funny because I love Glenn Powell because he's in Scream Queens and he's in Top Gun Maverick. And like he is in, I think, other things, but I can't off the top of my head think
of
what
he's in. So they just need to remake everything that was with Armie with Glenn. Like that would be fine.
I love him. And then there's that meme going around about him right now where he's essentially like a skinwalker, but they're like, he's a capybara reincarnated as a human. And I'm like, oh, he's so cute. So I thought that Glenn Powell and Armie Hammer were the same person for a while. And now I've never mixed them up. I'm like, nope. Glenn Powell is a sacred, sweet baby angel sent down from capybara heaven. Mm-hmm. And Armie Hammer
is a different person.
Is the Winklevoss twin asshole, which the Winklevoss twins were assholes. And so is Armie Hammer. It makes sense. So that was a double doozy, wasn't it?
It was a doozy. Was
it what you were thinking at all?
No. So when you said that this is about cannibalism, I thought that he was using like his money to like
eat people.
Allow. Yeah. No, essentially. Yes.
And I thought there was so much more to the cannibalism than there was. It's just it's not like he's eating people. He's like sexually gratified by eating. And I was like,
ish.
Oh, this is even grosser. He just like wants to lick their blood and barbecue their fucking ribs.
I think it's more
sexually, like, no, this
I
is
think
fucked.
You're right. I think it's more power than it is like actual cannibalism.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that like really lightly. Like, I really don't think it's cannibalism. I think it's more of like a fetish.
Yeah.
Like a power trip fetish.
It's weird. This whole thing was just a fucking wild ride.
Yeah, it's fucking weird for sure.
So I hope you guys liked that we did a different case. You guys loved when we did it for Boy Band Con and stuff like that. So I thought we'd do it again and we listen to what you guys want. Next week, we have another listener request. And it's, oh, well, it's a cannibal case.
An actual one.
Yeah.
An actual one.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Okay, well. Thank you guys for tuning in this week, and we'll see you guys again next week. We've been changing things up for season two. We have a new editor right now. Me. Hey.
Hey.
Thanks at Hey Septhina for doing our editing and being a team player. You're part of the Cryptic Soup family and community.
Stop it.
Okay. But we also have new visuals
that
your little eye peepers can see. I wonder who made them. Thank you, Athena.
Fucking you. 30 different designs later.
Hey, Athena. I made 12 myself, just so you guys are aware. Kylie and I had a tough time picking, but we finally came down to genuinely what it feels like to be Cryptic Soup season two. It's this creepy back alley room hidden up in the depths of fucking some creepy place where
it's definitely in the city somewhere, but
yeah. And like, you know, that's kind of what it feels like listening to Cryptic Soup. You're just making your way home on the subway, getting creeped out, and you're like, shit, this stuff happens in real life.
Here we are.
Tell me if you guys are irrationally scared of being alive like I am or not. Also, feel free to tell us how this whole episode made you feel and what you think about Michael Fassbender and Armie Hammer and whether you think the media and rumors are true. And if you guys want to hear more things like this, where we kind of discuss like things that are crime, but not like murder,
not crime,
but also things that could be real or could not be. It's kind of like those cases where it's like, was it murder or was it suicide? It's like that, but it's not at all. It's like, was it a crime or was it wasn't? Like, was it wasn't?
Was it?
Did not happen. Yeah. So
he was a bear.
I just thought this was an interesting one to cover, and they're both very recent events. So thank you guys, and feel free to tell us how you feel.
Thank you for joining us after dark. We can't wait to chat with you next week for another new episode. Sleep tight.
Listener, did you have some feedback about this week's case? Or maybe you want to chat with us. Maybe you even have a suggestion you'd like to throw our way. We're always just a click away. You can easily find all of our socials on Linktree through Cryptic Soup Pod, which is available in our Instagram bio. You can also join the CSP Discord, where we would love to chat with you.
Thank you for joining us this week, and make sure to check out our sources available in the description if you want to dive deeper into this case. Don't forget to show your support and love for CSP by leaving a review and rating wherever you normally listen. Next week, we will be back with a new episode where you can join in on the conversation after dark.
Cryptic Soup Pod is a podcast that contains sensitive material at times. We understand if sometimes the subjects are too much for some of the listeners. We thank each and every one of you for being a member of the community and always supporting us. Thank you for everything, and we'll see you next time. So stay tuned. Did you like it?
Yeah.
Wasn't it wild?
Yes. You're very passionate.
I love Taylor Swift.
And Harry Styles.
Oh, wait, hold on. I need my earballs in. Love him. Although I'm a little upset at him right now. That fucking bitch. He shaved his head. He looks ugly. I still love him, but he's fucking ugly right now.
I waited for a pause.
Oh, God. God, that was so scary.
That was terrifying.
My stomach drums. Dropped and jumped.
No, it drummed.
It drummed.
Oh my God.